This interview podcast was recorded at the Coalition for Networked Information Fall 2011 meeting. I'm Jerry Bain for EDUCAUSE. EDUCAUSE podcasts are sponsored by Moran Technology Consulting, providing management and IT consulting services to higher education institutions around the world. MoranTechnology.com. The Open Geo Portal addresses the question of how institutions can discover and access datasets in a large spatial repository. I recently spoke with Tom Kramer, who has worked extensively on this project. He holds two titles. Kramer is Associate Director for Digital Library Systems and Services, as well as Chief Technology Strategist for Stanford University Libraries.
Could you tell us about the Open Geo Portal and how it allows organizations to share data?
Sure. So Open Geo Portal is both a technology as well as a content sharing mechanism. So as a technology, it is essentially a solar index fronted by several JSPs with hooks to geospatial services back at individual institutions' homes. The solar index and the metadata that's populating it can be shared so that one institution who does data loading and metadata description of geospatial assets can actually share that with other institutions. And in certain cases, institutions will have overlapping collections of geospatial assets. So a lot of institutions, for example, have satellite maps of Haiti, which were released after the earthquake. In this case, if one institution enters the metadata, then all of the institutions can actually consume that. In other cases, institutions have complementary data sets, and by looking into a common solar index or a solar index that has common records, a user at Stanford could also get access to Tufts or Harvard unrestricted data.
What are some of the open source components of the project?
It is solar, and it's the primary one. The top level is JSPs. So Java servlet pages, and then it makes use, as I said, of a number of either standard or open protocols for actually consuming the geospatial assets at different institutions. So web mapping services, web feature services, web coverage services.
Are there some advantages in using open source components?
Well, some of the advantages clearly are the fact that the cost or the acquisition cost is free, though of course the cost to deploy and adapt is not. I think the greatest advantage is that it gives institutions the ability to adapt the software to their specific needs and their specific concerns. At Stanford, a good example of this is Blacklight. We've adapted it to be the catalog for the library. We deployed it 2.5 years ago, and we've been working on enhancing it pretty much continuously since then, both to meet the local demands of our librarians and our patrons, but then also in order to add additional content and additional features that simply weren't there, weren't thought of at the time that we originally deployed it.
You're also working on an international image interoperability framework. Can you give us some examples of how this framework might eventually help researchers and students to access information?
Yes. One of the big problems that we've noticed is it's easy enough for institutions to create silos, and silos are very good at deploying, say, a small collection rapidly. It actually doesn't necessarily assist researchers in doing cross-collection or cross-repository analysis, discovery, or simply viewing the materials. So one of the things that we are looking to do is expose in a standard way not only the metadata about information resources where images are the primary container, but also the images themselves. So you wouldn't have to not only – you go beyond simply looking at metadata aggregation to cross-collection, cross-repository discovery, as well as image access and being able to pull those images into synthetic environments for viewing them, comparing them, and doing analytics on them, such as annotation or transcription. In any third-party environment.
Can you tell us about Hydra, which is a project related to the repositories?
Yeah, Hydra is basically an application framework that sits on top of Fedora, and it's done in Ruby on Rails, and the name is evocative of the objective, which is if you've got a solid digital repository on the back end, you don't necessarily have the tailored interfaces or the workflow for the specific types of content that institutions want to have on the front end. So basically, Hydra gives them a toolkit and a framework to rapidly create and then deploy specific applications that have got a digital repository on the back end. So it can be used for generic institutional repository, ETD submission, ETD approval. It could be used for oral histories. It could be used as a digitization workflow project. It could be used for video asset management as a digital asset management system. Those are all examples of heads that are under development.
It seems that a common thread in these projects is the notion that we need more sophisticated mechanisms for searching a wide variety of digital materials in a way that's fruitful and seamless for users. Is that the driving idea behind these initiatives?
It's not just the discovery. I think really the driving idea behind these is most institutions have common needs. They may have unique resources in terms of content and the needs of the user communities that they have locally, but there are a certain set of shared primitive functions, and it really doesn't make sense to try to develop each of those solutions locally, both for time, for issues of cost and also for issues of interoperability.
Tom Kramer, Chief Technology Strategist for Stanford University Libraries. EDUCAUSE podcasts are sponsored by Moran Technology Consulting. I'm Jerry Bain for EDUCAUSE. Thanks for listening.